A large number of Americans today feel that our nation is in decline. A huge part of the problem is our plummeting morality. Dr. Gregory P. Seltz, the Speaker Emeritus of the Lutheran Hour, serves as the Executive Director of the Lutheran Center for Religious Liberty in Washington, D.C. Dr. Seltz commented recently, Alexander Solzhenitsyn posited a decline in courage may be the most striking feature that an outside observer notices in the West today. End of quote from Solzhenitsyn. Seltz goes on to say, that was at a Harvard University commencement speech in 1978. What he said then is all the more true today in our cultural tragicomedy. Perhaps that lack of courage is due to our own successes. Parents are afraid that their children will not have a comfortable life. Apart from thoughts about the world to come, all we think about is this life, its comforts and extensions. End quote from Dr. Gregory Seltz. How can America and the West in general get back on the right track? Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb and our guest is Dr. Greg Seltz. Dr. Seltz, it's so great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, Jerry, it's great to be here with you as always.
Now, the need for renewal in America is so great. It's amazing, too, to read this reminder from about 45 years ago from Solzhenitsyn, and right, how we're in decline. And if we were in decline then, how much more now?
Well, I think one of the struggles I have is that people have redefined liberty to mean libertinism. You know, to do as I please. And if you think about it this way, if you're driving and no one, you know, if one person doesn't obey the red stop sign or the red light, that could be a problem. But if everybody just decides not to stop at the red sign, it's not like everyone gets to now do whatever they want. It's just that now we have this traffic jam of chaos and destruction. And in some sense, that's libertinism. That's doing as I please. Well, liberty was meant to be the freedom to do what is right. And that's what Solzhenitsyn is getting at. He's saying we've lost that capacity to not only think about what is right and wrong, but then to self-discipline ourselves or to courageously act the right way for the sake of others. And a society built on freedom cannot function if its citizens just won't do that.
By the way, it's possible that some people listening to us might not even realize who Solzhenitsyn was and then why that speech was so historically important. And thirdly, the reception that he got, the stony reception that he got at that speech spoke volumes. It was like, you know, here he was coming from a nation that was totally godless, that is the Soviet Union, because of all the problems that flowed out of that godless foundation that they built on the Soviet Union. And yet, in effect, the intellectuals at Harvard were kind of echoing the same kind of godless sentiments, not in the same way, of course, because there was a lot more freedom in America in 1978 than there was in the Soviet Union in 1978, of course. But I'd like you to wax eloquent on these themes. I think this is important.
Well, again, when you think about what liberty means. And I'm, again, I think there's always been a bit of a war in our culture between its Christian, biblical, Judeo-Christian principled foundation and a secular replacement for that. I hear it all the time. Oh, we can have the same morals and just not believe in God. The founding fathers just said, no, that's not true. Your rights come because you're created by God and the world is ordered by God. And there's a natural order written into nature itself and into your conscience. Well, the secular folks say no, but we can still somehow come up and create a nation of liberty and civility and harmony. Well, you're beginning to see again that that's just not possible. Once God is jettisoned from culture, we become our worst selves, and government doesn't step in and do a better job for us than the church, than our conscience, and then free people living out their faith for others. And that's the tension in our culture today. And like you said, the Harvard folks at that time said, well, Russia screwed it up, but we'll do a better job than Russia did. Well, here we are.
And God is the issue.
Always. I love what Dennis Prager said. And Dennis Prager's not a Christian. He's a Jewish commentator on the radio. And he said, if you love freedom and liberty and you don't believe in God in America, act as if you do. I love how he said that, because your freedoms, even if you're a non-believing person, depend on that notion that there's a God in heaven who created you, who made you the human being you were meant to be. And that's the struggle today. I don't know. Can I tell you a quick story about an event
Absolutely.
That happened to me on the Hill?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I was in a meeting on immigration. There's all kinds of stuff going on in that meeting. People are, firing back and forth. And we had Democrats, Republicans, everybody's in there. One kid finally stands up and says, this issue is tearing our country apart. How can we actually, come together to start to solve this? And a guy stood up. I was on a panel, and a rabbi stood up, jumped up before I could get up. He said, if we all started treating each other as made in the image of God, we could actually begin to move forward. And I always ask people, how do you think the room responded to that teaching? Standing ovation, not the cold shoulder of Harvard. But see, then I got up and said after that, yeah, but he can't say that outside of this room, because he will be pummeled on the media. He would get an F in his university classroom. The issue is, are we going to allow these truths to be recentered again in our culture?
Well, you're based in Washington, D.C., and of course, right there, you have the Jefferson Memorial. Jefferson was not an Orthodox Christian, small O, of course, but he was a lot more Christian than people realize and give him credit for. For example, in 1777.
Went to church every Sunday. Went to church every Sunday was.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Absolutely, and read the Bible and so forth. Was a huge believer in the teachings of Jesus and so forth. Okay, here's the reason I'm bringing this up. Just walk around the Jefferson Memorial, and you see lots of references to God there, including the idea that if we remove belief in God, then how can our rights be secure? They can't be.
Right. Well, I try to say it this way. The Constitution doesn't tell us what kind of citizens we should be. To the degree that we relate to the government, yes. But the Constitution tells us what kind of government we demand. And it's a limited one that is only supposed to do certain things, because citizenship was something that was motivated and directed by not the Constitution. It was motivated by our faith. It was motivated by our moral teachings. It was motivated by being self-governing citizens living virtuous lives. Well, the Constitution made that possible by limiting the government. And so a lot of times Jefferson's really talking about what kind of government we want in order for us to be that kind of citizen. But then he says, now, let your faith be your guide as a citizen.
So how do we turn this thing around? It seems almost as if a wide swath of the American people really do want positive changes in America, but you have this elite, and they're in charge of the government, and they're in charge of the media, and they're in charge of the schools for the most part. And so there's a disconnect between these two different things. We're being led by people who are trying to lead us away from God and not, towards the founding principles.
Well, I agree with that. And we've got to define the challenge even for those with whom we disagree. And I think that's one of the problems today, is that people assume that we can have the same outcome of liberty, of civility, of humanity without these fundamental principles being in place. And every experiment that's been tried for the last 150 years to do that has failed and has ended up in tyranny. And we've got to say that we've got to be more bold about saying that. Socialism sounds good on paper. It's just that atheistic socialism destroys humanity in practice. And a lot of people, again, are flirting with that because it's a utopian notion that we can achieve the same things that we've got now, just without, paying homage to God and realizing that we're God's creatures and we actually were meant to be his people in service to each other. And so, again, that's the war that's always been. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. But we've got to tell people there are ramifications to jumping off again into this kind of atheistic notion that we can make a utopian future. And we've got to be more bold about that, because you can believe it now, but when it finally happens here, it'll be too late to change it.
You know, it's so interesting, too, when I consider the fact that for so many decades in the 20th century, the Soviet Union and other forms of, you know, other communist nations and so forth, they took over so many different nations. At one point, you know, it was like I remember seeing a map of the world, the globe and so forth, and it showed nations that were red. And that the caption was something like the whole world in the grips of an idea. But what happened was in the late 80s and early 1990s, right, there was this uprising in Eastern Europe in one nation after another, and it all got back to God. I mean, for example, you're Lutheran, and in East Germany, it was the Lutherans, you know, banding together, right, and so forth that caused that revolution. In Poland, it was the devout Catholics that caused it. But ultimately, the godless Soviet Union ended up losing their grips on, you know, one nation after another because of the people uprising, and religion was at the heart of it again. Religion, God, belief in God.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I interviewed actually Minister Lieberknecht, who was one of the people behind the Iron Curtain in East Germany, who actually wrote that letter and yearned to be free. And she said to me that if the wall doesn't come down and we're not free, every one of us would have been executed. And people don't realize that's what that communist regime would do to the souls that yearn to be free. Well, if your soul yearns to be free in America today, don't give yourself over to that nonsense, because there may be a day when we have to knock down another wall, and those walls don't always come down so easily. So I remember when I talked to her, I mean, just it was amazing to me the spirit she had, because God created our souls to be free and ultimately to find our peace in Him. And that yearning cannot ultimately be squashed by any political ideology. Hey, but here's a thought, though. East Germans are yearning. Some of them are starting to yearn for those old days of tyranny when everyone had the same misery. That I'm hearing that on the street there, and it just shows that it's a diabolical teaching that somehow as long as we all have the same thing, even if it's misery, that's better than freedom. No, it's not.
Wow. Okay, so we have a couple minutes left. What would you like to say in terms of how do we turn this thing around? And ultimately, I guess the question is, you know, can we have revival again? That's what we really need.
Well, look, I always tell people all our charge is to be useful in God's hands. I don't know what God is always doing. Sometimes He judges a nation. Sometimes He allows a nation to be renewed. The first thing we've got to do is define the challenge. There is a movement to criminalize Christianity. It's not liberal versus conservative. It's secular pietist versus everybody. They believe the state is the author of everything. Well, that movement is now in America, and we have to define that and say, everyone together has got to say no to that. So we have to first say that, define the challenge, then rise to the occasion. I don't think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego started debating whether Nebuchadnezzar's law was bad for them. They knew that these things were bad. They were criminalizing their faith. Well, we need to stand on that and then let the chips fall where they may. Be the Christian in your neighborhood. Be the Christian in politics. Be the Christian in business. And we'll see what God will do with our testimony. And I think if we do that, I would say we'll be useful in God's hands, because God is always at work to preserve and save. And that's what I wish people would first define the challenge. They need to see what's going on. I think then we'll be able to rise to that occasion.
And obviously in that example with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, there's that famous line where they said, okay, King, you know, God may deliver us, but if not, we're still going to be faithful to Him,
right,
no matter what. 20-second closer thought.
Well, I think this is an exciting time. I asked somebody one time, are we at an inflection point? And they said, absolutely. But the good news of inflection points is you can go one way or the other. And I just think this is another opportunity where things become more clear. And I think Christians need to ask, am I being faithful to God's moral teaching in the world for the sake of the culture? And then am I sharing with them the gospel of Jesus Christ? We focus on those kind of things, and I think God will have a say with us, and I think it'll bless our country.
Dr. Greg Seltz, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.